Hello, my name is Jeremy O'Shea, and I am a shop teacher in Souk, BC. I'm currently taking my master's, taking a course called EDCI 572 with Dr. Verena Roberts. It is development and implementation of the curriculum in digital learning contexts. This week's theme will be digital citizenship, developing and designing for safe learning spaces. We'll be talking about how does a safe learning space influence student learning? How can educators ensure student privacy and safety is considered in digital environments? How does your project consider individual student digital identity, safety, and choice while encouraging individual cultures and perspectives? And that will, of course, be followed up with the tech of the week. To start, let's talk about how does a safe learning space influence student learning. Kroll and Schwab note in Design Principles in Indigenous Learning Spaces that a library or a similar community center offered Indigenous folks a safe place to go for all ages. It offers a place for kids to go and play games on computers, a place for students and adults to read and research, and a place for childminders and mothers to bring kids to learn and play. Libraries also offer a weather-controlled atmosphere where there are set rules and everyone follows to keep the place clean and safe. Furthermore, libraries and community centers offer technology that some Indigenous communities may not have access to at home. Online technology has made access to some technologies more readily available to Indigenous communities where there used to be gatekeepers in the past, creating a level of empowerment. For example, movie editing equipment being used by Indigenous youth to tell stories, and music recording and editing tech to create music and express themselves through it. These resources offer Indigenous people an opportunity to try things out that they could not in the past and muck around, as Kroll and Schwab refer to it. Effectively, working through the design process to create something through trial and error and learning from their mistakes as they go. Some Indigenous community centers, as outlined by Kroll and Schwab, have taken to allowing the users to make the rules. This has given them a greater ownership of the building and its contents and made it their space rather than a space they can be in. Having personalized digital methods of communication allows students a safe way to communicate with friends and peers in a new way using text, image, and video. This allows for a quick way to share information with others in a personalized manner that is fun and engaging. Furthermore, the combination of text, image, and video offers a way for Indigenous youth to share their culture and fight prejudices by making their own or riffing on materials or messages. Indigenous youth are offered a place to work between old cultural knowledge and marrying it with current technologies to expand culture and address it in a new contemporary lens. This offers them the opportunity to tell their story rather than have it told by others. I feel that by focusing on Indigenous communities when talking about safe spaces is incredibly important, as there is statistically in Canada a higher percentage of Indigenous students who don't graduate compared to others. And often that's because they don't feel connected or safe in their school and don't want to be there. So by providing them an opportunity or at least another option to feel comfortable within the school, we give them more chance to succeed in the education system we have. Whether, now, different people's outlook might say that doesn't matter, but as someone who works within that organization, I do feel that it is important and that it does help for lifelong learning and understanding of the world at large. Next, I'm going to talk about how can educators ensure students' privacy and safety and consider it in a digital environment. Privacy and limiting the acquirement of student data and information is extremely important in public education. It can potentially lead to many concerning ends, such as opening a student to racism, bigotry, and other forms of discrimination. Furthermore, it can potentially rob a student of their autonomy if the gathered information is used to guide an individual's education, as asserted by Regan and Jesse in Ethical Challenges of EdTech. Big Data and Personalized Learning, 21st Century Student Sorting and Tracking. One of the easiest ways to avoid privacy potential pitfalls is to use district-approved educational technology. That does set up a teacher for a little bit more success, as the district has gone, hopefully, through the rigors of finding out if the technology is approved and that it will hold students' information in a safe place and not be possibly sold to other people or given to other people for who knows what reason. It's important that parents and students need to know what information is being taken by websites and programs, and that's why it's important to follow the Freedom of Information and Protection of Privacy Act, or FOIPA, guidelines. FOIPA governs how public bodies, such as schools, collect and use personal information and holds them accountable. This means that as educators, we need to know where our students' information is being stored and make sure it is not in danger of being collected by others, potentially harmful by others or potentially harmful entities. Projects can also be shared in class instead of online in order to allow all students to participate with the community of the project, giving feedback and receiving critiques. This would be done if parents or the student themselves did not want to have their information online at all and could be used as a secondary option. Although not ideal, it would work in a pinch. Also, a teacher could provide students with multiple options for both public and private online interactions. Private or public being something like Twitter, and private being something like FreshGrade or a closed Facebook group or something like that. This will afford students the opportunity to become more comfortable with online interactions and allow them to practice online networking interactions before sharing with a wider and open, more open audience. So next, I got to talk about how does your project consider individual student digital identity, safety, and choice while encouraging individual cultures and perspectives. I'll start by explaining the project. My group and I have been working on a sort of outline to for students to make a how-to video for making a Rube Goldberg machine. Now, initially, when we set out, we started by doing this. We were going to have the kids work in a group, but now with everything going on with the COVID virus and all that stuff, and bringing teaching online, we've been discussing the idea of possibly changing to focusing on how to teach this sort of project in an on in a more online or only online context instead of any face-to-face at all. Which does create some different challenges because we won't be able to supply students with parts. They'll have to find things around the house to use to make a Rube Goldberg machine, which could be challenging. It means every student's machine will be very different from the other, and it'll be a little bit more difficult to explain what it is that we're doing, but I think it'll ultimately work out with some prep in place. So something to think about is that students or what we've been thinking is that students need to be given the chance to record themselves as they see fit to document their progress in their project. This offers them an autonomy to talk about whatever they would like and to present in it any way that is relevant and personal to them. I think that really covers the giving them choice and letting them, if they have some cultural aspects they would and pers or perspectives they would like to express, they can do that. There's nothing stopping them from doing that, expressing themselves in that way. Students will also be provided with websites, apps, and software and other digital tools that have been cleared to meet FOIPA standards and have been okayed with by parents and administration and the students themselves. Alternative methods would be provided, of course, for students who wish for them. Now that could be difficult in a everyone's at home online pandemic situation, but we could see what we could do, whether that's just sharing only with the teacher or sharing with their parent instead. There are options, of course. Yeah, of course we need to meet FOIPA standards, and use the district resources we have available to us. It really will help us out in keeping our lives easy and not having to go through pains to find the resources we need, and forcing our students to go, sign up for a whole bunch of things when they might already be signed up for other online resources if they're district supported. And then lessons will be given discussing students' online footprint and how a young student should share and behave online. Personal information should be shared with heavy limits, and any online interactions with strangers should be kept to a minimum. Now, in a classroom, that's very easy to do, but if the students are at home, it is a lot more difficult to tell who they're talking to, if they're talking to strangers or just their family and friends. And so there might need to be a discussion with parents to keep an eye on their kids, because they will be posting things on, they could potentially be posting things online that people might be able to start communicating with them, which might lead to things that aren't good. These lessons into talking about online footprints and sharing and behaving online will be extremely important as they get older. Honestly, I think we could say that a lot of adults would need these lessons, judging from comment sections on the internet sometimes. I think it's important to start young on this one. So grade 3 to 5 would be a great place to start when discussing how you should share and behave online and talking about internet privacy. All right, so I'm gonna end now with my tech of the week. I think this one is kind of apropos. It's a program called Eraser. It is a security and privacy software. It completely removes sensitive data from your computer, so nobody can go on your computer later and find that information. When you delete something, it deletes it for good. That sort of thing. And it's mainly one thing to know is that it's mainly a Windows application. I don't believe it works for Apple products. The music you're hearing right now is a song called Canada by Pictures of the Floating World. I thank you, and I hope you have a wonderful week. Bye.